This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. I'm Lucy May. The EPA is pushing to have all lead pipes removed from the nation's drinking water systems over the next 10 years. Locally, Greater Cincinnati Waterworks has been working to replace lead pipes and now has a program that will cover 100% of the cost. But how will customers be prioritized, and what does the effort look like across the U.S.? Joining me now to talk about that and why replacing lead pipes is important for public health are Greater Cincinnati Waterworks Executive Director Kathy Bernardino-Bailey. Thanks for being here, Kathy.
Thanks for having me.
Cincinnati Children's Pediatric Environmental Health and Lead Clinic Medical Director Dr. Nick Newman. Welcome back, Dr. Newman.
Thank you for having me.
And Natural Resources Defense Council Senior Strategic Director for Health, Eric Olson. Thanks for being here, Eric.
Thank you for having me on.
Cincinnati Children's is a financial supporter of Cincinnati Public Radio. Kathy, how many properties in Greater Cincinnati Waterworks service area have lead pipes? How big an issue is this?
Right now, it's about 35,000 properties. I think when we started, it was up near 45,000 or so, and that program started in 2016, but right now, about 35,000.
And Dr. Newman, what are some of the health problems lead exposure can cause? Why is this so important from a health perspective?
Yeah, thank you. So one of the main problems we worry about is how lead affects children as they're developing, particularly the brain. And what's been found in studies is that even relatively low levels of lead have had long-term effects in terms of impacting attention, like being able to pay attention in school, and IQ, particularly verbal IQ.
Eric, lead water pipes are a problem across the United States. Explain what the federal government is doing about this.
Well, as you mentioned in your setup, EPA, the Federal Environmental Protection Agency, is expected to put out a new rule by October 16th that would require virtually all of the lead pipes across the country, and there are over 9 million of them, to be replaced within about 10 years. So that's going to be an important development. It's been something we've been fighting for decades, and we're very pleased to see that EPA is coming around to finally making a move to make this happen.
We're talking about the effort to replace lead pipes in drinking water systems in Greater Cincinnati and across the U.S. Do you have questions or comments? Give us a call at 513-419-7100, or you can email talk at wvxu.org. Eric, this is an expensive proposition, replacing all these lead pipes, but your organization argues that spending money to replace these lead pipes will save money in the long run. Explain how that works and how much could be saved in Ohio in particular.
Well, that's right. We actually worked on an estimate based on studies by the Harvard University School of Public Health that found that the benefits in terms of public health are about 14 times greater than the cost. So just replacing lead pipe may cost $8,000-$9,000 in that neighborhood in Cincinnati, I understand. But the benefits are about 14 times at least what the costs are. And that goes to things like what you just heard about, the impacts on children, the cost of additional education, the costs of lower IQ of children, and they therefore have lower earning. And then one of the huge benefits that most people are not aware of is that reducing lead levels actually reduces cardiovascular risk. And the Harvard School of Public Health study highlights that that is just an enormous economic benefit of reducing cardiovascular disease. So things like heart attacks, strokes, and so on can be reduced by reducing lead levels.
And that's reducing cardiovascular disease in adults. I mean, I know Dr. Newman talked about the risk for children, but there are some serious public health risks for adults too, right?
That's exactly right. So a lot of people think it's only children that are at risk. And certainly, as we just heard, children are definitely at greatest risk and most vulnerable. But as you'll certainly hear from Dr. Newman and others, there are huge benefits also to adults of reducing lead exposure, including cardiovascular disease risks.
Kathy, Greater Cincinnati Waterworks has been working to replace lead pipes for years now. I think you mentioned the program started in 2016. What's different about this new push? Explain how this is different from what you all have been doing for years.
Sure. You know, we've been taking out lead service lines from our system dating back to 1971. So we've been at it for a while. We used to take them out when we were doing water main replacement projects in the street. And so we would have the conversations with the customers. Most of the customers would say, sure, because we'd say this is a good time to take it out. They'd say how much it cost. We'd say probably about $5,000, $4,000. They'd say, I can't afford it. And so we would just take out the public portion of the line. So fast forward from 1971 up to 2016, certainly when we were watching everything that was happening in Flint and we were trying to revise our program, we said at that time we needed to do more to replace our lines because we were just doing the public side, but we needed to find a way to help customers also remove their private side. And so we've been doing that since 2016. We got approval from council in 2017, 2018, took our first line out in February of 2018. We didn't see the high percentage rates, the replacement rates that we expected. And so we've been hard at it since then, trying to figure out better ways to get people to come into the program and to remove their lines. And so what's changed now is that US EPA, under the Safe Drinking Water Act, is requiring us to send letters to customers. And so if we believe they have a lead service line, we're required to send them a letter to inform the customer of that at their property. And so we now have a big push because we're sending about 50 letters.
50,000 letters, right?
Yeah. I'm sorry, not 50, but 50,000.
Yeah.
Thanks for that correction.
Sure thing, that's a big one, yeah.
My staff would definitely be happy with sending 50.
Yeah.
But no, 50,000 letters. And we have to do that in a certain time frame, given the lead and copper revisions. And so we started sending those letters last week. And so we're hopeful that, number one, our customers will read their mail, right? But we have their home addresses, we have email, and we're doing our best to reach the customers to make them aware that they might have a lead line. And so if they're then interested in coming into our program for replacement or to get their water tested, we certainly have the means to do that.
And that means now the people who get those letters, if they have a lead line, does that mean Greater Cincinnati Waterworks will cover the full cost of replacement? How does that work?
Yes. When we first started the program, the first version, it was a cost sharing, you know, so they got a credit towards replacing the private side. And that was the best that we could do at the time, certainly moving it through council and getting it approved. And we got to a point where we said, this might not be all that we can do. Can we come back to you? Can we figure out if we can now cover 100% of the costs? And so council approved that in 2021. And that was, you know, it was some challenges with that. We certainly had some customers that were early adopters in the first program. And they were concerned because now people were getting it at 100% coverage. Mm-hmm. But we certainly tried to get an answer from our legal team and city administration to see how that would play out. And unfortunately, you know, the first version was just the credit sharing portion of the program. But since then, we've been able to cover 100% cost. And so we have seen more of our customers that have lead lines on their property come into our program now to do the replacements.
Mm-hmm. Well, we did get an email from Stephen Oakley, who writes, now that the city has taken a more aggressive and public position to replace all lead pipes at no cost to the homeowners, what's the policy of the city and the department for people who replace the lead lines at their own expense? Many of these citizens have testified before city council in recent months seeking reimbursement based on this no-cost replacement policy in this post-Flint, Michigan lead pipe abatement world. And it sounds like for legal reasons, the legal department's saying, hey, you can't go back and mm-hmm. give those refund their money or.
Right.
Okay.
Right. For legal reasons, they're saying that we can't give them refunds and that they came into the program, you know, as the early adopters in the first version. But that program has since changed and they're saying that we cannot go back and cover the costs that they've already put into it.
And when you say it was a credit sharing program, how did that work? Did it mean people got money taken off their bill? Like, how did that work?
So as an example, if it cost, say, $5,000, they got up to $1,500 off of that total of $5,000.
I see.
And so the amount that they saw that their line cost was reduced by that credit.
I see. Okay. Mm-hmm. Dr. Newman, you know, we were talking about the health implications of lead lines and especially mm-hmm. what those mean for children. How often are children being treated at Cincinnati Children's because of problems caused by lead exposure?
So we probably see a few hundred kids per year who initially, you know, present with blood levels that are above the reference level, which is now 3.5. To put that in perspective, like our goal for like public health and everyone is to try to get the lead level as low as possible. That would be like less than one typically is how we would measure it. And, you know, I've had patients that I've cared for that have started to have like serious symptoms from lead poisoning when the lead level is probably 60 to 80. And so the idea is to, you know, try to intervene as early as possible to prevent these much worse like outcomes, which can be really quite bad.
Dr. Newman, is there a safe level of lead?
So no, we've not found any level that's safe at all. And in fact, what we've found is that some studies done at Cincinnati Children's now, like over 10 years ago, showed that like in terms of looking at child IQ, the biggest drop in IQ happens, you know, by the time the lead level gets to 10. So, you know, there's you know, you lose, you know, a couple of IQ points just by getting, you know, to a level of 10. And after that, it goes down slower. So there's some mechanisms there that are, you know, we don't entirely understand, but like that finding has been like reproduced. And, you know, I think one of the other issues, and I think Eric Olson alluded to this, is, you know, a lot of people have a chronic exposure to lead, and so it may begin in childhood and persist through adulthood. But also, as a child, a lot of the lead that might be like ingested will end up in the bone, and it's stored there. And then as you get older, that may be re-released back out into the body. And so, sadly, it's kind of like the poison that keeps on giving, if you will.
Yeah. We do have a caller on the line. Hi, Osenu. What is your question or comment?
I'm not calling to ask a question, but just for a testimony.
Okay.
When I was driving my car and hear you naming Dr. Newman, I say I get a call. Because my son had a severe lead poisoning, a very, very high level of lead in his blood. And I can say that Dr. Newman saved his life. Oh. I don't know if he can remember me, but my son's name and my name, so you know, he might remember. He took care of him, lowered the lead level in his blood, gave us all the advice we needed. And the hospital hooked us up in the program where they come over to the house to clean the house of the lead to make it safe for him.
How's your son doing now?
He's been several years now. My son is doing very good at school. And I wanted just to call to say thank you to Dr. Newman for what he has done.
Thank you so much for that call. We love hearing from you. So glad that your son's doing so well. Dr. Newman, that's got to make you feel good.
Yeah, well, thank you so much. And, you know, I'm very glad to hear that things are going much better for you and your family.
Yeah. Well, we're going to continue our conversation after a short break, and later in the program, we'll discuss what it's like to travel with an invisible disability. This is Cincinnati Edition. This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. I'm Lucy May. We're continuing our discussion about the effort to replace lead pipes in drinking water systems in Greater Cincinnati and across the U.S. My guests are Greater Cincinnati Waterworks Executive Director Kathy Bernardino Bailey, Cincinnati Children's Pediatric Environmental Health and Lead Clinic Medical Director Dr. Nick Newman, and Natural Resources Defense Council Senior Strategic Director for Health Eric Olson. You can join the conversation by calling 513-419-7100, or you can email talk at wvxu.org. Eric, how is the federal money being allocated for this work? I'm wondering, are communities with the most need being prioritized when it comes to federal funding?
Yes, well, so there is this historic funding under the bipartisan infrastructure law that passed Congress in 2021, $15 billion allocated just for lead pipes and lead pipe removal. And in fact, for the total amount, Ohio got more money than any other state, $184 million for 2024, fiscal 23 through 24. So Ohio's doing pretty well. That money, about half of it is targeted for disadvantaged communities. So 49% is required under the law to go to disadvantaged communities. And that can either be the whole town or city has low income or is defined by the state as disadvantaged, or it can be a portion of the city. So for example, if a portion of Cincinnati were identified as disadvantaged by the state, then that portion of the city could benefit from these dollars. And that money is actually outright grants that goes to disadvantaged communities. So that's a huge benefit, and we're hoping that this will really give a boost to programs like Cincinnati's that are targeting communities that need it most. And I'm sure that Kathy Bailey can speak to how they are targeting their lead pipe replacement. We're urging that those communities, those environmental justice communities that are already at highest risk from lead and other risks, should be targeted ideally first to get these lead pipes removed.
Kathy, I do want to ask you about that, but I also want to ask how the state of Ohio is allocating this money to you all, to the waterworks folks, because I'm wondering how much of the problem these funds will help address. Does this cover a lot of the need that you have to replace these pipes?
So it does not cover a lot of the need. I mean, it certainly helps us, right? Because I can't remember our recent number, but I think a couple years ago we calculated, you know, we needed $120 million, you know, to do a large amount of our lines, right? And that was just one utility, you know, in the state of Ohio. And so it won't cover all of our costs, but it definitely helps every amount of money that we get. So we received a couple grants that has helped. They've been pointed at certain things, like maybe replacing lead service lines at child care facilities, things like that. And so we've been able to use the money in that way. But definitely all the funding that the state has, we are applying for it, and we're trying to use it as soon as they give it to us. We are trying to take that money and some of our money, our capital funding. We have bond sales as well, and so we can use some of that money for the public side. But we take all of that money collectively into our capital program, and then we have a prioritization to a tool. UC, University of Cincinnati, helped us create that tool, and so we are now able to take into account like low-income disadvantaged portions of our service area, the number of lead lines that might be in a neighborhood, if there are a high number of children that might have tested high with lead levels in their blood, and then a number of social factors as far as, are there food deserts in that area, you know, other things that come into play. And so UC students were able to take that information and create that prioritization tool for us that we've just started to use. And so that helps us prioritize the neighborhoods that we're going into first. But you can only imagine, it's the older neighborhoods, you know. So it's your North Fairmount, your South Fairmount, your Hyde Parks, those neighborhoods that are much older in the area. And those are the ones that we're trying to address as soon as we can because they have the higher number of lead lines.
So as I understand it, it's not like it's just first come, first served. You're really trying to use this equity tool to figure out what those priorities are.
We are. We have three different ways that we take the lines out. The majority of the lines, we're working with them to be replaced as we do water main projects. Then there's what we call one-offs. One-offs are if a customer has a leak on their line and we find out that it's lead, well, we need to get to that sooner versus later because they have to fix the leak, so let's fix that. And then the third bucket is the one that we're starting now, and that's the bucket where we've already done a water main replacement project in the past, and so now we need to go back to those streets and remove the private side of the lines. And so we're trying to gear up and do more of that work now.
Mm-hmm. Eric, you referenced this October date to adopt these stricter federal lead rules. There's also another deadline in October, as I understand it, for Trump-era regulations. What are those deadlines about?
That's right. It's a little confusing, but October 16th is unfortunately sort of a magic date because the Trump-era rule will go into effect on October 16th if the new rules don't kick in by then. And that'll create a lot of confusion for Kathy Bailey and her colleagues because you'll have one rule go into effect and then potentially another rule would then supersede it within weeks or months after that, and it'll create a lot of confusion. So we're hoping that that new rule will be cleared by the White House, which has to approve the rule that EPA has proposed, and that would then go final basically in about a month.
I see.
Then require these lead pipes to be replaced within 10 years.
Kathy, it's clearly complicated to get these lead pipes replaced with as many as you're dealing with and you know, where they're located, all of that. But is it additionally complicated to be dealing with this at the same time utilities are working to address forever chemicals in the water?
Oh, absolutely. We talk about that quite often because it's our everyday operations, then there's our capital projects that we need to do anyway, right? We might need to do something to a treatment train or fix one of our tanks that's storing water. So those are things that are just ongoing as well. But then we have this big bucket of needs and funding that we need for the lead replacements. And then we have the forever chemicals that we're trying to figure out solutions for as well. So it's quite a bit that we need to figure out.
It's all important.
It is.
Yeah.
It is.
Yeah. Dr. Newman, from a health perspective, you know, we've talked about the health implications for children. We've talked about health implications for adults. From a health perspective, how quickly would you like to see these pipes replaced?
Well, it would be great to have, you know, some kind of magic wand to try to replace them as, you know, instantly, of course. I mean, we know that the longer that you're exposed to lead, the longer it takes to clear out of your body. It's kind of a complicated process there. But, you know, really the key is to try to, you know, reduce the amount of exposure. And one thing I would also just like to add is that, you know, the EPA estimates about like 20% or so of our lead exposure comes from the water. So that's a good chunk, but there are certainly other sources. And I think people should be aware that if the city of, you know, if the waterworks is saying we need to replace your lead service line, there may be other lead hazards in the house that you want to be, aware of also. And, think that, you know, one thing isn't going to fix all of it. There's a bunch of different, you know, potential sources. And so, you know, lead and soil are very big up there.
If people have concerns about that, should they contact your clinic at Cincinnati Children's? Should they contact the Cincinnati Health Department? What should they do?
I think probably that the health department would be a good place to start. I think because if you have children in the house or you have children who visit your house, the state law is pretty clear about making sure that those kids get tested. So wherever those kids get their care, they could certainly get tested for lead, and that would start the whole process. The city also has resources to help with lead abatement, of getting rid of the lead in the home. And, you know, I don't want to speak out of school here, because I know they have different programs for different things. But the health department is, and the city of Cincinnati and the Hamilton County Health Department are managing all those different programs.
Okay. Well, I've been talking with Greater Cincinnati Waterworks Executive Director Kathy Bernardino Bailey, Cincinnati Children's Pediatric Environmental Health and Lead Clinic Medical Director Dr. Nick Newman, and Natural Resources Defense Council Senior Strategic Director for Health Eric Olson. Thank you all so much for your time today.
Thank you
for
having me.
Thank you.
Up next, millions of Americans have invisible disabilities that can make traveling a challenge. We'll discuss what's being done to help. This is Cincinnati Edition.